Hello, this is Ed K. Smith from domainer.com.au, here with my co-host, Rob, from domainer.com.au. Rob is actually the owner of domainer.com.au. And this is the new Domainer videocast that we decided to put together. Rob, how are you?
Great, mate. How about yourself?
Fantastic. So for those people who are tuning in for the first time that have not seen neither Rob or myself, we thought we'll give a bit of an intro as to who we are, what we do, why we're setting up this podcast and this video cast, so people can learn more about domain names and investing in domain names, how they can buy and sell, etc. So Rob, you have been the proud owner of domainer.com.au for a short while. So let's give people who are tuning in for the first time who don't know anything about you a bit of a background as to who you are and what you do and what your role is with domainer.com.au.
Yeah, well, I'm a domain broker. I run dbr.com.au. I've been in the industry as a, you know, like a full-time basis, probably for the last 3 years, but I've been around for just over five, I'd say. So I run dbr.com.au, and I also run a retail domain name registry business called registry.com.au, and we're just about to launch website hosting and email hosting at host.com.au. So domain is pretty much a passion for me, to run the site as well as just daily live the whole domain name industry. Yep. And so when Ned O'Meara did an amazing job at creating domainer.com.au and keeping it as a news, domain name news pulse site that a lot of people were following for many years, over 4 years, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It was.
Well done, Ned. Good day, Ned, if you're watching.
So when he wanted to call it a day about, I can't even remember the exact time, a month ago, 2 weeks ago, I forget. Yeah, I was one of the guys that reached out and said, you know, I'd like to, you've done such an amazing job with it, I'd like it to continue, and I think I can hopefully do a pretty good job at continuing it. So here we are.
Yeah, and you are doing a great job, mate. You're putting out a lot of content. And as we were discussing the other day, you have the gift of being able to type very quickly, which I don't. I can talk and speak quickly, but I can't type quickly. So we both have our individual skills, which is why I thought this would be another extension of your blogging, is to have something that's audio and visual. And this will appeal to different people. There are some people who want to sit down and have a watch and see two talking heads, and others who are driving in their car or exercising who want to do a bit of listening of some domain educational related stuff. So thank you for that intro. A little bit of a background on myself. I've been investing in domains for probably, I don't know, 15 years or so now. And I had a domain podcast that I started in 2007 called OzDomainer.com. Probably a few people who are listening or watching have heard of that. That's not current anymore. I stopped doing that about a year or so ago.
But it's still archived. Yeah.
It is, but the actual site's down, but it's archived in all sorts of different places that you can listen to it on iTunes and other places. So it's still, all the audio stuff is still there. But I also do another podcast called The Business Marketing Show, where we talk more in general about digital marketing. As you can see with my top here, Online Impact is my main company. That's my day work that I founded that company 15 years ago, focusing on digital marketing. We're partners with Google, so we do a lot of Google advertising, etc. And I've always had a passion for domains. Domains are the first port of call for any real online presence. You've got to have a domain name. Often it's the afterthought, as Rob and I both aware. People don't tend to think about it until it's sort of too late, or they don't place the importance on their domain. So digital marketing domains are a perfect fit. And I love talking about domains like Rob does. So, and we're both in Perth, coincidentally.
Yeah. That's so handy. Even though we don't have to see each other, we could be anywhere because we're on video streaming.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. which is the wonderful thing about the digital world that we live in. So we've got a few things on the agenda that we're going to cover. And over the time, we're going to mix this up. We maybe have some guests on. There's lots of stories in the domain industry about people who have had great successes, stories about people that haven't had great successes. And we want to cover everything, the positive, the negatives. We want to have some fun and keep it light at times, not be too serious. But there are serious things that need to be discussed. Isn't that right, Rob?
That's correct.
And we have some of those coming up right now. Now, as a disclaimer, we just want to make sure anything that you hear or listen to is the opinion of myself and Rob. It is only our opinion. Seek professional advice. Speak to your lawyers. Speak to your accountants. Don't take our word for it. Do investigating. But don't just go and act on anything that we say. It's only our opinion. So that is completely up to you as to how you take our opinions and our information. So disclaimer, we need to have that. It's a litigious society these days, isn't it, Rob?
So yeah, absolutely.
Starting off, one of the first things that's been a huge thing that's happened in the last week and a half is the migration of all of the .com.au, .net.au domains, anything in the AU space has been moved over to the Afilias platform. Now, Rob, I'll hand this over to you because you know this like the back of your hand, and we're both pleasantly surprised how it went. It was a huge job, but
it was, yeah.
Tell us more about it, Rob.
Well, I think some people are still cottoning on, and you've still got businesses today from different people I'm speaking to that are ringing up and saying, you know, I've got this little problem with domain name, auth code recovery, or some whois problems. It's just some little teething problems. So some people didn't realize, but the biggest domain name migration in history since the internet was invented just happened a week and a half ago, and it was with our Australian domain names.
Exactly.
And so it was a massive job. So things could have gone, it could have been catastrophic, but it wasn't. And like you were saying, generally speaking, it went well, and it was Afilias should be commended for that. There are a few teething problems that we're hearing about, but other than that, this, you know, our Australian domain name space still works, so that's a good thing. Some of the problems that I'm hearing about are when you recover an auth code to do a domain name transfer or a COR, a change of registrant. Afilias have kind of created this silly system, and I don't know if it's how they're going to continue doing it or if it's temporary, but at the moment you go to afilias.com.au and I think you go to one of the tabs and do recover auth code or recover domain password. Mm-hmm. And then they ask you to enter the domain name, and then there's a disclaimer saying this can take up to 2 days for you to get your password, and by the way, it won't be emailed to you, we're going to phone you up and tell you your password over the phone, which is a bit backwards caveman era, if you ask me, but it could be temporary while there are, I don't know, crossing some T's and dotting some I's. So there's that. So it'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, hopefully that's not an ongoing thing, because that is a huge backward step. You want to be able to do this seamlessly and digitally, and you want to be able to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning if you want to, not wait for someone to call you the next day. When you've got a deal that's going through and you're wanting to transfer a domain name, if you're a seller or a buyer, you want it to happen as quickly as possible. So any additional things like that just get in the way.
Yeah, because that's the reality. Even though businesses own their domain names, there's still a small percentage of domain name investors that are buying and selling domain names. But I mean, even just businesses in general, they businesses change every day, every week. And so just general businesses need to get access to their auth codes quickly to change. So hopefully they can fix that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true. So anything else with the migration that's you're seeing? Any little niggles?
People are saying that the whois check is... on a domain name is giving some vague results that don't really follow existing outer policy. So I'm sure they're looking at getting that up and running.
Yeah, I found that. That's still getting ironed out.
Yeah, it's still getting ironed out. And even where we check the whois, it's been a bit confusing, and no one's outer or affiliates haven't really come out and said this is the place to do the whois check from now on. It was very confusing in the first few days. It was they were saying go to, I forget what it was, but it was like webname.com.au or and then they were, according to policy, it was supposed to be whois.outer.org.au. Now I think it's whois.outer.ltd, okay. Which is the main whois check URL. And it is a bit weird, I guess, that Outer have chosen whois.outer.ltd, because LTD is a generic TLD, isn't it? It's instead of trusting the .au, .com.au, .org.au for the whois, for some reason they've gone outside the country to a...
Yeah, to that's a dot. Unusual. I hadn't heard that, so...
Yeah, that's... So everyone's kind of wondering what's going on with that. They haven't really explained it yet. So maybe there's a... I think we're due for an outer newsletter, so maybe it'll be explained in that.
Yeah. Look, all these things, anytime there's a big changeover, there's always... these things that are going to be little teething problems and issues. So hopefully they'll get sorted out soon. All right. Well, moving on from that, there's other really major things happening in the Australian domain space. What's the one you'd like to talk about the most in terms of importance that you feel people who are listening to this now, and this episode should be live in the next day or so. So, you know, we're talking about the 12th or 13th of July 2018, when you're listening to this, what's the most critical thing that's happening with Outer that can affect domain owners and domain investors in particular?
There's quite a bunch of stuff I was going to talk about. I'm trying to figure out which one would be.
We have a fairly long list.
Yeah, we've got a long list here. I mean, we can talk about... the upcoming SGM that I'm not sure everyone's aware of. So there's a special general meeting that's been called, and it's happening in about 2.5 weeks in Melbourne. A special general meeting is when the members call the meeting. So Outer have been asked by the members to call a special general meeting ahead of the AGM, which is the annual general meeting.
Yeah.
And there's been resolutions put forward, basically voting to oust... a couple of the board members and the chair of Outer, because some members are disgruntled. You can find out more information about that at grumpier.com.au, rather than us going into all the details of it right here.
But who are the people that should get along, or how can people access this? They have to physically turn up. Whereabouts is it being held?
It's being held in Melbourne on the, I think it's from memory, the 27th or 29th of July. That's a good question. I don't think that people don't have to turn up. I'm going to go, and I know a lot of people are going to go, because I think it's a historical moment, really, what happens at that meeting, because they're voting for, members are voting for different resolutions. But I know that if you can't make it, you can submit a proxy vote as a member to someone on your behalf. And I think there's information about that at grumpier.com.au. And even if you check out the Outer newsletter that should be coming in a week or two, they'll give you other options where you can also submit the proxy vote.
Yeah, we can put some links for that stuff in the show notes of this episode. So people can just click on that and go straight to the Grumpier site if they can't remember the URL, but it's an easy URL.
Yeah, Grumpier is one version of you know, how people may vote. So, you know, we want to give both sides of it. But yeah, we'll provide some links.
Yeah, because the changes that are potentially being recommended could be devastating to people who are domain investors. And there's a lot of opinion out there about what a domain investor is. And this harps back to the stuff I've been hearing for 20 years, that domain investors are cyber squatters, that we're just these mongrel dog people who own all these domains that others can't get their hands on. But I say, well, it's no different to someone who was early buying real estate or someone who was early buying Bitcoin. Oh, you're a mongrel dog because you got Bitcoin at a dollar and now it's at $7,000 or whatever the price may be today. But you know, it's one of those things. The only issue I ever have with domain names is if people register names that are trademarked or other business names that they don't have a right to. But when it's a generic term, you and I have as much right as the next person, but it's whoever's in first. And then
out of policy states first in best dressed for generic domain names. And I'm with you. If someone deliberately goes out and registers larabingle.com.au, as a domainer and a domain name investor, we're against that, and we will help police the industry and also shout, yes, that person can't own that domain name. So that's the big difference between a domain name investor or just a general Australian business who wants to own 5 or 10 domain names to protect their brand versus a cyber squatter. There's a clear difference. And that's another reason, or that's another good point where we can't go backwards with this subject. And there are certain people out in the industry who are voicing their opinion, trying to put everyone in one boat as a cyber squatter or an extortionist because they buy a domain for a certain amount of money and sell it for a profit. I just think that whole angle's wrong. So,
yeah, and often they're just bitter and twisted people because they didn't get the names themselves. And
it can come down to jealousy like that. Yeah, it's like saying to the Bitcoin people, we need to reset it all just because you got in early. It's not fair. I mean, it's just unrealistic.
Exactly. And I'm sure if the shoe was on the other foot, that if these guys who don't like it had their chance to go back 10 years or 15 years or even 5 years and get names that they owned, they wouldn't be trying to put this policy in place. So ultimately...
That's right. And we've got a recent example, Ed. Literally 2 nights ago... someone hand registered the domain name university, the correct spelling, .com.au. So it's not too late. People shouldn't be jealous and think, oh, it's too late, so we should just tear this whole thing down. I mean, 2 nights ago, that's an amazing, that name's worth thousands of dollars, and a guy registered it for $6.50 hand register. So these things still happen, and the general public can every day, well, when the drops aren't working at the moment because of the migration, but starting from July 15 again, anyone in Australia who has an ABN can go and register a domain name for $20 or $50 or $100, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
No, it isn't. I'm picking up great hand-registered names every day, in my opinion. Everyone's got a different opinion of what a good domain is, but a good business purpose domain that I find. So they're there. But, you know, people... People want to have a domain that you've got. Like, as an example, I own, one of my domains is audiobooks.com.au. Now, someone may want to come along and start an audiobook store, and they get all upset and get their knickers in a twist because I've got it and I'm selling it. Well, yeah, I bought it 10 years ago. I spent a fair amount of money buying that name. That wasn't a hand-registered job.
No.
Almost at a hand job, that wouldn't be probably appropriate, but anyway, pardon the pun, but we're trying to have a laugh on the show as well. We can't all be serious.
We can't help it. Is it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So look, the opportunities are there I just listened to a great episode. For those who don't know, there's a gentleman called Rick Schwartz, who I have been privileged to meet and also interview on my podcast in the past. He's known as the Domain King, and he was extremely early. He got into domains in the mid-90s had a 20-year vision. And listening to his episode, last one, I'm trying to think of where I heard it. We'll put the show notes in there. We'll put a link to it.
Okay.
But it was a fantastic interview with him talking about domains, in particular a lot of the new GTLDs, the global top-level domains that have come out, and there's been about 1,000-odd of them, and a lot of those are just dying on the vine, and they're not getting any traction. So there's a whole conversation we can have, but right now we're really focused, and this podcast and this website, domainer.com.au, is focused on the .com.au or the AU space in general, the Australian domain space. And there's enough happening in our backyard, isn't there, Rob, to keep us going for ages on the stuff that's going on just with ADA and the upcoming changes. So
Absolutely.
Now, a lot of people don't realize that you can actually be a member of Outer. And there's two different classes. Would you like to explain the two different classes to people who don't necessarily know that this exists right now?
Yeah, there's a demand class, which is basically people who buy domain names. And there's a supply class, which is the registrars who, sell domain names. So, for example, GoDaddy and Crazy Domains, they are on the supply class.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed and I are on the demand class because we buy domain names.
Yep.
But every Australian business is on the demand class. But the thing, the good point about this whole thing, what subject we're talking about is Outer recently, well, the Department of Communications, who have given Outer the contract to manage the Australian domain name space, have recently, have looked at Outer and said, you know, we don't know if this is going so well. So they've actually given 29 government regulations that Outer should kind of look at to kind of fix things that the government's not really happy how Outer are running things. And one of those is Outer formed a group called the Constitutional Working Model Group, I think it is, CWMG. And their role has been to look at the membership model. And there was a meeting that was held last week, an online meeting. I attended that meeting. And they're actually putting forward some new model structures. And one of those model structures that seems to be the popular one that everyone's kind of liking is changing the demand and supply class membership model into a single member class. So everyone's just kind of grouped into one kind of member class.
Okay. So what would be the benefit of doing that as opposing to have the two separate types?
Well, I guess in terms of numbers, a few months ago, there were only around, I can't remember the exact numbers, but there were only around 300 kind of members.
Yeah. Then so, there was a huge influx, wasn't there? Of like 900
members. Yeah. In the last couple of months, now it's up to 900 members all of
right,
a sudden.
Okay.
So you've got to, I guess they've got to wonder how influential is supply over demand? And I guess Outer and the government have been thinking demand has been quite maybe too influential over what's been happening in terms of who gets into the board and stuff like that. So maybe it looks like everyone kind of wants that model to be gone. So the CWMG are putting up a functional constituency model, or a kind of a single member class. So that's kind of ongoing.
Okay. All right. So what else on the topic of Outer? I mean, I haven't heard this story. I'll be hearing this roughly for the first time, but I think you mentioned it in a blog post that you were called by someone an extortionist the other day because you had a domain that you owned that they wanted to buy.
Yeah.
Tell us that story. Obviously, you don't have to mention names, but...
I can mention names.
Okay. If you feel comfortable with mentioning names, go for it.
Yeah. It's... So a few months ago, this all comes... It's quite a tangled web, this... So there's a guy called Brett Fenton who is the chief technology officer of one of the registrars called TPP Wholesale. I can't help but say this because it's just a fact. A couple of months ago, he did come out and he did say, he did basically, and it's in a blog post, call pretty much anyone who's got more than a couple of domains, a cyber squatter and an extortionist. And there were a bunch of people online on these public forums who were defending it, saying, you know, there's a big difference between a cyber squatter and a trademark infringer compared to an Australian business who's registering 10 names or a domain name investor who's registering, you know, 50 names or more. He didn't seem to want to back down from that, but, you know, fast forward. And by the way, Brett Fenton, who said that, is on the PRP, which is called the Policy Review Panel. And they're actually in charge at the moment of creating policy for the existing policies we've had, because there's 34 outer policies, and also policies to do with the new direct registration, so direct.au right. instead of com.au that's coming up. That's a whole different story. But how this all ties into what you just mentioned. So on Monday this week, I had a phone call, and a guy called Steve rang me up, and he's a CEO of a big company. I'd say they're worth, I don't know, millions of dollars by the looks of it. And I didn't really expect his candor, but he just said, you know, you've stolen one of my domain names. That's how he opened the conversation.
Okay.
And I said, that's funny. I don't remember ever stealing a single domain name. You know, what's the domain name? And I'll tell you the domain name.
Yeah.
So it's number two, and then x.com.au, which is pretty generic. And it did drop. So it dropped 8 weeks ago. And for some reason, he waited 8 weeks to call me up and get angry about it. So when I saw it on the drops, because I'm into cryptocurrency, I like to put some money in and then wait till it kind of goes two times and then take some money out.
That's a 2X.
So 2X to me, I saw that and went, that means two times. And I do own twotimes.com.au.
Great domain name.
So they're great domain name, and it's very generic. I mean, 2X means two times to me. You know, like 4X.
No trademarks on it? There's no trademarks?
No, there's no trademarks on 2X.
There you go.
And he didn't even come from that angle. He literally said, you know, I could tell he was really cross in his voice. And he said, you know, we were using it for, you know, data and DNS redirection services and stuff. And I said, well, you know, I didn't know any of that, mate. I just bought a domain name off the drops. You can buy it. Anyone can buy domain names off the drops, as long as you're not trademark infringing, like if they're generic. And so he carried on and he started to get a bit more heated. And he just goes, so I know what you do. I've read blogs about what you do. And he was getting quite personal, and he was saying, what's your price? Tell me your price. How much do you want for it? And I was saying,
triple what I wanted for it 5 minutes ago, buddy.
Well, I was saying to him, I bought it for, you know, a legitimate close and substantial connection to my cryptocurrency business two times. And he was saying, whatever, how much do you want for it? Tell me a figure. And I said, mate, it's not, I can't just go to a shelf. It's not sitting on a shelf with a price tag on it. I didn't know I was wanting to sell it until you've just rung me up. So if you want to make an offer for it, then I can figure out if I still need it for what I needed it for, or if maybe it'd be best with you because you seem to be quite upset about it. Anyway, he said, you have to give me a price. And I said, I don't.
No,
I need an offer from you if you want it, so I can, you know, consider if I need to sell it or not. Anyway, then he said, you're an extortionist. And I said, you're kidding. Are you kidding me? An extortionist on the phone? And at that moment, the penny dropped that he'd been reading these forums where Brett Fenton from TPP had been going out calling people who registered domain names extortionists. And I thought, even though Brett Fenton didn't take it seriously at the time what he was doing, I'm now getting phone calls because Brett Fenton went out there and publicly said people are cyber squatters and extortionists. So now what he's done is he's creating this that it's okay to call up domain name investors and call them extortionists. So I'm really not happy about this.
No,
I set the guy straight. Like, sorry, mate.
Kick her. This is good.
Yeah, I set him straight and tried to explain to him what the difference was. And then he just blew his top and he said, I've been recording this and I'm going to release it and show everyone that you're an extortionist. And he hung up on me. And I got off the phone and I just went about my day, except the most cross thing I was cross about, other than being attacked on the phone, was that, you know, there's now this situation where some people think it's okay to do that when it's not. So I don't know what to do about that, but it's just,
you start a video podcast like we're doing now and you talk about it and you educate.
Video podcast about it to set the record straight. So from now on, maybe we'll just point to this video podcast to say it's not acceptable to do that to domain investors.
It's, It's misconceptions and people who are uneducated in the market space. Their theory is that they are the only person that has the right to own that domain then. Just them.
Yeah, he must have been pretty emotionally attached to it.
Yeah. And look, but I can understand. Done this. We've all forgotten or had something happen where your credit card wasn't up to date. We've all had domains drop.
Yeah.
So you suck it up, princess. And if you want that domain, you'll go and pay the price that someone's asking for it. And if you can't pay the price they're asking for it, then tough. That's how it is.
I've done that myself. My alarm hasn't worked on my phone. I've seen someone's got a domain name that's related to one of the businesses I've needed it for. And I've seen they've got it for $60. And there's a few people who could come out and say that I've said to them, I'll give you $500, I'll give you $1,000. I missed the drops today. I know you bought it for $60. You can't cry about it. It's a digital asset. If you want it, you have to pay for it if you miss out on it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. And look, it is virtual real estate. And this is where people just have this misconception here's the thing. If it's a name that you've gone and made up a name, like you've gone and made up the word Google as an example, and then you've gone and registered that as a business and a trademark, then you have the right to that name. No one else has the right to that name. And that's, we are not arguing that point.
But no, if someone's called Joe's Hairdresser, domainers and domain name investors can't go and grab Joe's Hairdresser. It's not generic. It's that's cyber squatting.
Yeah, exactly. And
unless your name's Joe and you're a hairdresser.
Exactly. And this is the thing, right? This is where there's all sorts of conversations, and we've got lots of time over the next few episodes to talk about this further. But we've all had that happen where we've had names, and I've had a very good friend that's had that same thing, a four letter, awesome name he picked up in the drops a couple of years ago. And then like 2 days later, the company that had it called up and they were, same thing. You're an extortionist. You're this. That was our domain. We've had that domain for 15 years. And I'm going, well, look after your domains better, because it's not.
Yeah. And that's another thing. See, I've never been called an extortionist on the phone by someone until these public forum posts happen. So that's what's made me cross. But
we'll be burnt at the stake soon. They'll be setting up little towers of wood with fires and sticking domainers on them and going, burn you bastards.
Yeah, I know. It's so backwards though. We can't let it get back to that. Anyway, that's the thing. I mean, this Steve guy who lost 2x.com.au, it's his fault. Somehow he let it go. And I'm not saying I'm unempathetic to it. If he'd gone about it in a different way and he said, you know, this is like affecting my business, then we could have worked something out. And then
you could have leased it to him, or you could have, there could have been something. But when you come on the attack, then you can't expect someone just going to go, oh, absolutely, you're completely right, when they're not, and just hand it over. No. We've been in the game for too long to react to that sort of stuff. So interesting. Yeah. So I'm sure there's people who are listening to this have had something similar happen, either on the receiving end when they picked up a name, or they've forgotten to renew a domain. So in the comments section, that would be really cool to give us some stories, or if you feel like sharing some of those, that'd be great.
There'd be some interesting ones, I'm sure.
I think for the length of time we've been talking now, mate, we probably better start wrapping it up. So is there anything else critical for this particular episode, our first video podcast episode for domainer.com.au? Is there anything else you would like to share?
Just having a look.
That is so just important.
I mean, we'll talk about more of this stuff, like you say, coming up. There's still going to be articles on Domainer as well. But
of course.
People should just be concentrating on this SGM, special general meeting, that's coming up in Melbourne in a couple of weeks. It's huge. It's depending on the way people vote, it could be the end of outer, literally, or it could be a reset of the board, or it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. So that's super important at the moment. The migration to Afilias from Net Registry, there's some questions that need to be asked why outer did this, because they went from Outer went from making under $3 per domain name to over $6. So they almost tripled their income for a not-profit organization. There's some questions there for people to look at.
Yeah.
Now, as end users and people who use domain names, like the 2.1 million Australian businesses, are they getting a cost saving from this happening with the new Australian registry, or are they going to be charged more money? One positive thing is now registration can be done for the first time in Australian domain name history. We can actually register right now today domain names for 1 year or 2 years or five years, which is amazing. And it should have been like that from the start. So that's another positive thing that OUTA have implemented. And it's working well, except some registrars aren't doing it yet, but hopefully they'll.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I mentioned to you the other day, one of the main registrars I use is onlydomains.com or .com.au. And they've got the option of 1, 2, 3, or 5 in theirs.
Yeah, that's great. I should have those options. Most do. Yeah. I know that a bunch of them do. There's just a couple that don't. TPP Wholesale and Net Registry, I don't think they do yet. They're dragging behind for some reason, but everyone else seems to,
And that's great, because often we experiment. Like, I've got lots of domains that I'm, you know, we all have projects and we all think, oh, that'd be great to do this with, or, and, you know, the reality is we never really get around to it, because you can't, when you've got hundreds or thousands of domains, it's not feasible. Yeah. But in the past, we've had to, just talking hand registration now, we've had to spend $22, $23 or whatever you're paying. If you're paying
more, wholesale 25.
Yeah,
that's 25 in general.
Yeah, that's pretty common price most people are paying. So now you can get it for half that price as an experiment for 12 months. So you don't have to fork out that amount of money. Now for domainers, that's a good advantage now. For people who've only got a couple of names or want to buy a couple of names, it doesn't make a huge difference. But for people like us,
that's an interesting point. Well, what OUTA may have done is they may have actually created an opportunity for there to be more domain name investors and domainers than ever before, because more people might hop on now and register. Because at the moment, for $6.50, you can register an Australian domain name for a year. That's not going to be the ongoing price. It'll soon shoot up to about $10. It's just a kind of an introduction type price.
Where's that?
$10 is pretty reasonable. Synergy Wholesale and Uni Registry. $6.50 at the moment. But I think it's an intro 1 month taster for the new 1 year thing. I think the general price out there is $10.
$10, $11.
And even retail people could be paying $15. But if you've only got five names, you know, for your business, who cares if you're paying $15 really or $8.
But the more important thing is that you're happy with the service that you're getting from your registrar, and that's true.
I'd rather pay more and get the best service than too cheap. And
I've been on the other end of that. Anyways, that's another story. All right, mate. Well, look, that's been a fantastic first episode, I think, in my humble opinion. I think we should get some comments from people. Some positive, some negative.
But thanks, Ed, so much for your expertise in this, because I don't think I could have taken the technology to this sort of level. Like you're saying, I'm pretty fast at typing, but you're a gun at the video conferencing stuff. So this could be a good thing that we're doing.
I think it'll be great. And thank you for the compliment. The video stuff I'm relatively new at, because I only just started doing that. I mean, I've been audio podcasting for 10 years, so the audio side is easy.
There you go. It's the next logical step.
Excuse me, but we're using Zoom, for those that don't know. We're recording this on zoom.us, which is an awesome tool. And for what we're doing, it's a free tool. We're not using a paid version or anything. And it does the whole recording onto your own computer. It does the split screen stuff. Fantastic. Right. We're not associated with it, but if you wanted to do this sort of stuff, it's the accessibility to these sorts of things are amazing now compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they weren't there. So on that note, thank you, sir. I'm going to call you Sir Rob from now on, because you are.
Oh, come on.
Maybe
because I'm stepping
waving the flag for domain investors, mate. You're out there on the coalface going to meetings and putting a voice out, and there's a lot of people who don't know.
There are a bunch of us doing it, but I'll take that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know stuff's going on, you see, and then all of a sudden they'll wake up one day and go, gee, why can't I have these 25 domains I registered at all? They said I could have them and now I can't have them. What's happened? And it's all too late. So that you, if you don't want something to change, you've got to make a stand and make it known. So well done on that.
Yeah, and keep up with the news. And that's what Domainer does. We're just giving people the real news, and we play the cards as they're dealt. Sometimes we're pro a certain side and sometimes we're against it. It just depends. We want the best for the industry and the best for the 2.1 million Australian business owners who are online.
Well said. On that note, take care, and we will catch you on the next episode, my friend. And thank you for tuning in and listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.